Welcome to this edition of What's Up Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network. I'm your host, Bob Ross. Today we continue our series dealing with the Bainbridge Island Metro Park and Recreation District, what it is, its history, and some of the exciting new things happening right now and over the next several months. In this series, we'll focus on the many special events and programs that happen in the parks, and today we welcome back Board Chair of the Park Commissioners, Don Jano. Don, thanks for returning, and you brought a special guest.
Yes, hi, Bob. Thanks for having me. I really look forward to these podcasts all the time, so it's great. And today I have Sean Smith-Sell with us, and he is the Park Trails Coordinator.
It's great to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Great.
You know, the first thing I think about when I think about trails, Sean, is that's what you have to have in a park to get around. And so, well, let me ask you this. What got you into trails? What's the background noise there?
Well, I always liked hiking and backpacking. My family always went on backpacking trips up in the Cascades and the Olympics, so... Oh. Running around finding trails was kind of how I grew up. And then getting it going with the park district, you know, I grew up near Gazem, hiked on all those trails, run around with my friends in the woods, find new trails. And I started out on the trails crew, which is our, at the time it was a 6-week summer program, building new trails and maintaining all the trails that we have. And I really liked that, getting outside and working in the summer. So I did that for a couple years and then just kind of stayed as long as they let me every year.
Can you give us a kind of an overview of what the trail system looks like in the park district? I mean, like, how many miles of trails are there? Or do you even know those kinds of things?
I have a rough estimate. It's like 42 and 46 miles of trail. Mm-hmm. And we just keep adding more, it seems like. There are a couple projects that are coming up and we're working on that will add, you know, half a mile here, half a mile there, and then it just keeps building and getting more connections to trails we already have. Yeah. And connecting to places we don't have trails.
What can you give us an overview of what the process is of, you know, suggesting a trail, or how do you become aware of the interest in putting in a trail, and then what happens after that?
Yeah, so we have our Trails Advisory Committee, which is a group of island dwellers who come to our meeting every month, and they usually have suggestions for trails, or they're out walking on the trails a lot, and we'll see, oh, there's a social trail going here. Is this a trail we could make into an official trail? We also have a master plan of where we want to eventually have trails or trail connections, so between parks or to important sites or something, or connecting loops that we already have part of. Wow. So that's kind of the first step. And then we have to go out and actually find a route. And I can talk more about that if you want me to.
Well, I'm interested, and I would guess our listeners would be interested, you know, figuring out the route. I mean, what are you looking at? Things like grade and, you know, what's the composition of the terrain you're going through?
Yeah, grade is definitely a factor. And again, this is where the Trails Committee comes in handy, because they do a lot of route finding for us. Oh. And we'll come up with multiple options, and then we'll all kind of come back and talk about it and see which one we think is best, try and avoid going through big trees or anything like that, and working with the landscape. You know, you don't want to make a trail straight downhill, because then it'll just become a stream. Yeah. So kind of following the contours of the land and avoiding the wet areas.
And putting in switchbacks on real steep hillsides.
Yeah, we do some of that.
I prefer those rather than going, you know, real
Sometimes when you build a trail, is it an opportunity to get some invasives out and to put new stuff in?
Yeah, it can be.
Okay.
And it can also be, if it's a new trail to an area of a park that wasn't particularly accessible before, then it can open up an opportunity for the Student Conservation Corps Great. To access it and come back and deal with the invasives.
So how does the Student Conservation Corps interact with you?
It's a separate program. Uh-huh. It doesn't have too much to do with trails. Uh-huh. They do work on a lot of the same sites that I will be working at with just trails.
Yeah. You mentioned Gasm Lake, and that's a, even though I don't live near it, that's that trail system in there is a favorite place for us to go and hike, and it's fun to see the water out there and kind of observe what kind of waterfowl is happening or not happening. But on a system like that, where there isn't a lot of change in grade, well, there is some, but not a lot of steep stuff like you get into in the Grand Forest. Is there a regular maintenance program you guys are doing, going in and looking at things and seeing what needs to be done?
Yeah, that's part of my job, is kind of constantly monitoring all the trails. And there's not too much change in grade in Gasm, but where there is, you know, managing wet spots or diverting water off of a trail. Water and trails go so much together that you have to work with both.
And this time of year, we end up with a lot of downed trees. And so I think the trails committee spends a the trails crew spends a ton of time kind of going out there and clearing those trails for folks.
Oh, yeah. We have, I have a bunch of trail stewards who are out there, and they'll take a picture of a tree and text me where it is or send me an email, usually with like our locator tag, so I know where it is. And
well, tell me about trail stewards. Are these volunteers?
Yeah. So trail stewards are volunteers who usually frequent like one specific trail, but they, in reality, they end up walking on all of them. But they're kind of assigned like, hey, this is your area. Let me know of any things that are going wrong here, any safety issues, any trees down, any work that could be done. Yeah. And then I'll add it to our list of planned maintenance.
What if a person wants to become a trail steward?
That's a great question. they would go on our website, and there is a volunteer application on there as well as a trail steward application. And then they could just email those both to me, and I would get them back their copies, and then they would be an official trail steward.
Ah, cool. Wow, that sounds like a neat opportunity.
Are you signing up, Bob?
Yeah. That's why I need another. I mean, we're out hiking quite a bit, and it's wonderful to know that there's a group like that.
Oh, yeah.
Doing that kind of thing. And I, you know, as you're talking, I'm wondering about last, you know, yesterday we had a lot of wind, a lot of stuff going on. Is it like, would a trail steward, would that be one of the things they would be doing, is going out after a windstorm and hiking the trails and reporting back to you?
Absolutely.
Down trees.
That's, I have an inbox full of down trees right now that I'm waiting for an opportunity to get to. Yeah.
Okay, well, explain how you do that then. You get reports of trees down. So do you have like a group of you that go out and deal with them then? Or, I mean, I imagine you could get into some dicey situations.
Well, we don't do anything if it's still windy out. We wait for the storm to die down and then go clean it up. But currently, as long as it's a small enough tree, it's just me that goes out. That's why the trail stewards are so helpful, is because I can't walk 40 miles of trail. So I'll go out and clear those. If it's a really big tree, then I'll call in some help from the horticulture crew or someone else who's available to come and help me cut it up.
Yeah. How are trails financed?
Oh, I don't know if I quite know the answer to that question. I mean, we have a trails budget.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's for all our maintenance costs and any materials we need to build a trail.
Sure.
And then outside of that, I think we build a lot of trails on easements, and those can be expensive to acquire. if they're on private property. So the Parks Foundation, we partner with them a lot, and they fundraise and acquire trail easements to go across private property and connect existing trails that we have or build new trails.
Right. And if there's a permitting process that needs to happen, that's just, again, it becomes part of the parks budget. If there needs to be any construction along a trail, a bridge to cover a stream or something like that, again, that's it gets absorbed by the park district.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's part of the programming. And
it's a really good question. I wonder what it does cost to build a trail from start to finish.
Oh, that is a good question.
We'll have to report back on that.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I don't know either.
I would guess it varies quite a bit depending upon the topography and the material that they're working with. But that does lead me to a question, Sean, and that is, I've been observing, you know, the construction at High School Road and 305. Mm-hmm. That's going on there. Is that a connector trail that's happening?
Yeah, so that's part of the city actually is building that, or they contracted that out. So that's part of the STO, Sound to Olympics.
Yes.
And that is connecting up to our trails that we have at Sakai Park, which is actually where I was working before I came here.
And there's different. We have different classes of trail. So maybe you could speak a little bit about that, Sean.
Yeah. So, and this kind of goes back a little bit to the cost question.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have three different classes of trails. Class one trails are typically like 5 to 6 feet wide. They have a hard surface. We use quarter minus basalt gravel, and that packs down and can be as hard as asphalt. Basically, that's what the main trail around Battle Point is.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have class two trails, which are kind of 4 to 5 feet wide. And that's the tread width, so anything you can walk on the ground. And those are, there's a little more obstacles. There's, it can be gravel or it can be native soil, generally a harder trail and less accessible. And then class three trails are a maximum of 3 feet wide, and those are typically built by hand. They're all native soil, and that would be something like the Westwood Shore Trail at Gasm.
Oh, yeah.
Going down to the water there. Mm-hmm. And those have steep grades. There's roots in them. We make a trail, but it is a difficult trail.
What about signage? Is signage a big part of what you are involved with as well?
Definitely. I mean, I have to go out and install all the signs. So we like to, you know, it's important to have signs because people want to know this is a public trail or, hey, mm-hmm. you can walk here. It's okay. And then we have different signs for our trail etiquette. So kind of who yields to who on a trail. All our trails are basically multi-use. So we have horses, bikers, and walkers out there, and there's an etiquette of how you're supposed to interact with other users on the trail to kind of avoid conflict. And then we also have in a lot of our parks a rescue locator system. Mm. So you'll see on some of they used to be called Carsonite posts, but I don't know what they're called now. They're the brown fiberglass posts.
They have some flexibility.
They do, yes, yeah. Which mm-hmm. can be a problem. But those will have these red locators on them that is shared with the county and emergency services. So if you need to call 911 and you're in the woods and you say, I'm at GF14, they'll have the GPS coordinates for that, and they'll know where you are.
Yeah. Wow, that's good to know.
There's also maps up in the trails. And then the one thing else, and again, I'm not sure if all of them are marked, but don't we have leave no trace policies on our trails as well?
Yeah, all our trails are pack it in, pack it out.
Pack it in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. And are there any motorized trails?
We don't have any motorized trails, no.
Yay, team. I'm actually...
Maybe that'll be another podcast, Bob.
Did I open up a can of worms here?
Yeah, I don't think we've quite decided on how to deal with e-bikes. So.
Oh yeah. Well, I can understand that. Yeah, that could be a challenge, couldn't it? Can you give us real quickly, Sean, the hierarchy and right-of-way stuff on horses, bikers, and hikers?
Yeah. So walkers, hikers basically yield to everyone. Uh-huh. And everyone yields to horses. Hmm. And then walkers yield to bikers. I might be getting that mixed up. It's kind of a triangle.
I was just curious about that, and if there was a kind of the hierarchy set in a certain protocol or something, because it just seems to me like whenever we don't run into bikers very often, but when we do, it's always an easy way to deal with it. I mean, they're very courteous. We are courteous, and it's, they usually let us know if they're coming or we hear them either behind or coming towards us. And I've never used my bike on a trail here on the island, but I can see where it could be kind of a fun experience in certain areas, for sure.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of bikers out on our trails. And for the most part, they're all, very courteous and know how to work with horses and walkers. Some of them even just wear a bell on their bike, so it's kind of constantly going, letting people know they're there.
Yeah. Well, as we wrap it up here, what are some things that really stand out in your mind in terms of being able to work with trails on the system here? And let me just say one more thing. I don't think I've ever lived a place where there are so many trails. it's really great. If you want to go out on a hike, or we have a family coming over Thanksgiving, and from the East Coast, and they've been here before and they love it here. They can't wait to come. But, we're already thinking about, okay, where are we going to do our hiking with them? So so back to you. What are some really, outstanding things in your mind about the trail system that you're responsible for?
Working on the trails, I back to Sakai Park.
Yeah.
There's this whole giant pond back there that no one knew existed. No one knows it was down there. And we get to go in and create this space for people to come and enjoy nature and just get in touch with themselves or whatever they are doing on the trails that day. And then on a personal note, I like going and finding the cool little nooks and crannies in the trails where, someone's left a little rock stack or just a little gnome house, something hidden on the trail that not a lot of people notice.
Oh, that's beautiful. Really nice.
I could go on and on, too. I mean, there's memorial benches out there. There's all kinds of finds on those trails. Really, really neat.
Yeah.
Neat stuff.
Well, Sean Smith, Sal, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fun.
It's been our pleasure. And Don, thank you for bringing him.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for coming, Sean. Appreciate it. Yeah.
You bet.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us today on this edition of What's Up, Bainbridge, brought to you by BARN, Bainbridge Artisan Resource Network.